Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 5, The Demigod's Appeal to the Lord, Text Number 23. Ayam chatasya sthiti palana shana sadvam jushanasya bhavaya dehinam tasmad virajmak sharanam jagat gurum Svanam sano dasyati shamsara priyaha. I am this period. Cha also. Tasya of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Stiti palana shana. The time for maintenance or for establishing his rule. Sattvam, the mode of goodness. Jushanasya, accepting. Now without waiting. Pavaya, for the increased development or establishment. Dehinam, of all living entities who accept material bodies. Tasmat, therefore, Vrajama, let us take Sharanam, shelter, Jagatgurum, at the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the universal teacher. Svanam, his own persons. Saha, he, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Na, unto us. Dasyati, will give. Sham, the good fortune we need. Surapriya, because he is naturally very dear to the devotees. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Now is the time to invoke the mode of goodness of the living entities who have accepted material bodies. The mode of goodness is meant to establish the Supreme Lord's rule, which will maintain the existence of the creation. Therefore, this is the opportune moment to take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because he is naturally very kind and dear to the demigods. He will certainly bestow good fortune upon us. Purport. The material world is conducted by the three modes of nature, namely sattva-gun, raja-gun, and tamagun. By tamagun, everything material is created. By sattvagun, everything material is maintained properly. And by tamagun, when the creation is improperly situated, everything is destroyed. From this verse, we can understand the situation of Kali Yuga, through which we are now passing. Just before the beginning of Kali Yuga, or in other words, at the end of Dwarpa Yuga, Lord Krishna appeared and left his instructions in the form of Bhagavad Gita, in which he asked all the Vyantis to surrender to him. Since the beginning of Kali Yuga, however, people have practically been unable to surrender to the lotus feet of Krishna, and therefore after some 5,000 years, Krishna came again as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, thus to teach the entire world how to surrender unto him. Unto Sri Krishna, and thus be purified. Surrendering unto the lotus feet of Krishna is achieving complete purification. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita 18:66, Sarva Dharma Prachajam Mame Kam Sharanam Vraja Ahang Tvang Sarva Papebhyo Mokshi Syamima Suchaha. Then authorize your religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reaction. Do not fear. Thus, as soon as one surrenders unto the lotus feet of Krishna, one certainly becomes free from all contamination. Kali Yuga is full of contamination. It is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam 12.3.51. Kalera dosha nide rajan asti yeko mahagunan kirtanet eva krishnasya mukta sangha parambhajat. This age of Kali is full of unlimited faults. Indeed, it is just like an ocean of faults. No, dosha nidhi. But there is one chance, one opportunity. Kirtanad eva krishnasya mukta sangha param braja. Simply by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, one can be freed from the contamination of Kali Yuga and in his original spiritual body can return home back to Godhead. This is the opportunity of Kali Yuga. When Krishna appeared, he gave his orders. And when Krishna himself appeared as a devotee, as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he showed us the path by which to cross the ocean of Kali Yuga. That is the path of the Hare Krishna movement. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, he ushered in the era of the Sankirtan movement. It is also said that for 10,000 years, this era will continue. This means that simply by accepting the Sankirtan movement and chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, the fallen souls of the Kali Yuga, of this Kali Yuga will be delivered. After the battle of Kurukshetra, at which Bhagavad Gita was spoken, Kali Yuga continues for 432,000 years, of which, after the battle of Kurukshetra in which the Bhagavad Gita was spoken, Kali Yuga continues for 432,000 years, of which only 5,000 years have passed. Thus, there is still a balance of 427,000 years to come. Of these 427,000 years, the 10,000 years of the Sankirtan movement inaugurated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 500 years ago provide the opportunity for the fallen souls of Kali Yuga to take to the Krishna consciousness movement, chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and thus be delivered from the clutches of material existence, return home back to Godhead. Chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is potent always, but is especially potent in this age of Kali. Therefore, Shukadeva Goswami, while instructing Maharaj Parikshit, stresses chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Kala kale de dosha nide rajan nasti yeko mahagunan kirtaniyak evas krishnasya mukta sangha param vrajat. My dear king, although Kali Yuga is full of faults, there is still one good quality about this age. It is that simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, one can become free from material bondage and be promoted to the transcendental kingdom. Those who have accepted the task of spreading the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra in full Krishna consciousness should take this opportunity to deliver people very easily from the clutches of material existence. Our duty, therefore, is to follow the instructions of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and preach the Krishna consciousness movement all over the world very sincerely. This is the best activity for the peace and prosperity of human society. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement consists of spreading Krishna Sankirtan. Param Vidayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. All glories to the Sri Krishna Sankirtan. Why is it so glorious? This has been explained by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Cheto darpanam arjanam bhava mahadavagni nirvapanam. By the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, one's heart is cleansed. The whole difficulty is that in this age of Kali, there is no sattva gun and no clearance of the heart. And therefore people are making the mistake of identifying with their bodies. Even the big philosophers and scientists with whom we deal are practically all under the impression that they are their bodies. The other day we were discussing a prominent philosopher, Thomas Huxley, who was proud of being an Englishman. This means that he was in the Bali conception of life. Everyone, we find this same misunderstanding. Everywhere we find this same misunderstanding. As soon as one is in the Bali conception of life, one is nothing but an animal or like a cat or a dog. It's the Eva Gokara. Thus, the most dangerous of all of the dirty things within one's heart, within our hearts, is this misidentification of the body as the self. Under the influence of this misunderstanding, one thinks, I am this body. I am an Englishman. I am an Indian. I am an American. I am Hindu. I am Muslim. I am Slovenian. Well, Slovenia is an important country. This misconception is the strongest impediment, and it must be removed. This is the instruction of Bhagavad Gita and of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Indeed, Bhagavad Gita begins with this instruction. Deno smin yata dehe komaram yovanam jara tata dahantara praptir diryas tatra namuyati. As the embodied soul continually passes in this body from boyhood to youth to old age, the soul simply passes into another body at death. The self-realized soul is not bewildered by such a change. Although the soul is within the body, nonetheless, because of misunderstanding and animal propensities, one accepts the body as the self. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore says, Chaito Darpanam Arjanam. To cleanse the core of the heart, which is full of misunderstanding, is possible only through Sri Krishna's Sankirtan. The leaders of the Krishna consciousness movement should very seriously take this opportunity to be kind to the fallen souls by delivering them from the misunderstanding of the materialistic life. One cannot be happy in any way within this material world. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Abrahma Bhuvana Loka Puna Avartano Juna. From the highest planet in this material world down to the lowest, all the places of misery when repeated birth and death take place. Therefore not to speak of going to the moon, even if one is promoted to the highest planetary system, Brahmaloka, there cannot be any happiness in this material world. If one actually wants happiness, one must go to the spiritual world. The material world is characterized by a struggle for existence and survival of the fittest. Is a well-known principle. But the poor souls of this material world do not know what is survival and who is fit. Survival does not mean that one should die. Survival means that one should not die, but should enjoy an everlastingly blissful life of knowledge. This is survival. The Krishna consciousness movement is meant to make every person fit for survival. Indeed, it is meant to stop the struggle for existence. The Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita give definite directions how to stop the struggle for existence and how to survive an eternal life. The Sankirtan movement, therefore, is a great opportunity simply by hearing Bhagavad Gita and chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, one becomes completely purified. The struggle for existence ceases, one goes back home, back to Godhead. Now is the time to invoke the mode of goodness of the living entities or of accepted material bodies. The mode of goodness is meant to establish the Supreme Law's rule, which will maintain the existence of the creation. Therefore, this is the opportune moment to take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because he is naturally very kind and dear to the demigods, who will certainly bestow good fortune upon us. Namo Vishnu Vraya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutai Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane, Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Pacharane, Nirvishesha Srinivadi Paskatyade Siddharane.
Don't fall asleep before the class. That will, we won't know if the class is boring or you're just boring. Or you're just bored, I should say. So in this verse, the chanting of Hare Krishna is stressed. And we can understand whether or not we're actually chanting Hare Krishna by the effect it's having on us. The main problem with the conditioned soul is pride. We think that our experience is the standard experience and everything else should be measured according to our experience and our understanding. And to conceive of the fact that we're in the age of Kali and that we're fallen is the exact opposite of what we've been taught since we were born. That we're in the golden age, material golden age. That by technology, everything will make it a diamond age. We're born in the golden age of technology, and as it advances, then it'll become more and more glorious. And through the process of technology, we'll be able to eat, sleep, mate, and defend forever. The food will become ever more delicious. We'll be able to sleep anywhere and everywhere all the time. We'll have sex life unlimitedly with all varieties of human beings and animals, virtually and in reality. Whatever you want. And we'll become stronger than tigers. Each one of us will become super martial artists. So everyone is dreaming that we're actually making advancement. Although according to the Bhagavatam, Tatas Chanudinam Dharma Satvam Socham Daya Shama Balena Kalira Rajan Nakshantya Yor Balam Smriti. Day after day, not just month after month, but day after day, actual Dharma will go down. Actual Dharma is explained here. Dharma is based upon understanding what Krishna wants us to do in our present circumstances and then doing that to please Him. That's called Dharma. Everything else is a dharma. But because in Kali Yuga there is no God, there is no process of serving God, there is no liberation, there's no purpose of life other than to gratify the senses. And Prabhupada says here it's all based upon the misconception that these senses and this body is ourselves, or that our satisfaction depends upon satisfying the senses. Satisfying the senses means to serve usually lust, anger, greed, envy, madness, and illusion. That when we serve these energies that are pushing us, vacha vegam, manasa krodha vegam, jiva vegam, that the main sense that pushes, begins with jiva, that somehow or another, my main happiness is always going to be dependent upon my tongue. If my tongue is happy, then I'm happy. And if my tongue is dry, if my tongue is not tasting things, then I can never be happy. Therefore, generally the mantra the devotees like more than the Hare Krishna mantra is Sharira Avijajal Jotendriya Tayakal. The only problem with that mantra is there's too many words, and it, we feel too much separation from prasadam when we're saying it. So the substitute mantra is, you're up there, I'm down here, let's eat. But these pushings, the best sense gratification can do is temporarily alleviate us of the burning sensation, the anxiety, the desire, whatever we can say, to satisfy, especially lust, anger, and greed. When lust is satisfied, it turns into greed, and when lust is not satisfied, it turns into frustration and anger. And anger either burns us inside or it burns us, we burn outside. But that's material existence. Either we're lusty or we're angry. And when we're not lusty and angry, we're asleep. And as soon as someone wakes us up, we begin our process of lust and anger. And that lust and anger manifests itself in our dealings with all other living entities. Either we see them as possibilities to assist us in gratifying our lust, or we see them as obstacles to gratifying our lust, and in between, everyone else is useless. Our friends are those who help us gratify our lust, our enemies are those who are obstacles, and everyone else we can just ignore. And therefore, our relationships are not exactly transcendental or loving. Now, when we chant the Hare Krishna mantra, generally speaking, the neophyte devotee, his idea is not necessarily to realize that there's no difference between Krishna and his name, because he doesn't believe it. The devotee who chants Hare Krishna at the beginning, unless he had some special mercy coming from his past activities. Generally, it's a theory. Yes, Krishna and his name are not different, and we wonder, how is that possible? How is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the source of everything, so cheap, he just appears as soon as I chant his name? That would make him easily available to everyone, and therefore I'm not special if I'm chanting Hare Krishna. So that means I'm just an ordinary person, and I didn't join the Hare Krishna movement to become an ordinary person. I became joined the Hare Krishna movement to become a super extraordinary person. But it's so easy to get Krishna. I just say Hare Krishna and he's there. I say Hare, and Srimati Radharani is there. So, if it's so cheap to call Hare Krishna and he comes, what's the value? But obviously they're not so cheap, because we've been chanting and they're still not there for us. They may be there, they're everywhere, but they're not there for us, because we have the wrong mentality. Krishna is so powerful, Krishna is so kind, he can be anywhere at any time, eternally, and he's like the powerhouse. If you have a powerhouse, everything, all the electronics depend upon the powerhouse. If the electronics are connected to the powerhouse, then they're useful. Then they work, they function. And if not, then no matter how much power there is in the powerhouse, the electronic equipment has no value. So when we chant Hare Krishna, we get the opportunity to be lit up by the powerhouse of ecstasy, bliss, and knowledge, Srimati Radharani and Krishna, who are eternally the source of all knowledge, bliss, and bliss. But that depends upon how much we want to be connected. That's called yoga. Therefore, we have 10 offenses when we're chanting Hare Krishna. And if we think, well, I heard the offenses already so many times, I'm so naturally perfect that simply by hearing them once, I'm practically there. But if, as it says in the Bhagavatam, if we're chanting Hare Krishna and we're not feeling, if our sikhas or our hair doesn't stand on end, if there's no shivering in the body and our heart does not melt in ecstasy, then our heart is steel framed. Because most of us think our hearts are golden framed. But still they're covered with some kind of metal, and we're not actually feeling the effect that we should be when we chant Hare Krishna. Therefore, our hope is to chant Hare Krishna, but also to find out exactly where we're at the present moment. The problem is we don't know where we're at in terms of consciousness. Of course, we know we're in Ljubljana, in the temple of Hare Krishna, wherever that might be in the universe. But we don't know where our consciousness is at. And if we find out where our consciousness is at, usually we don't like it. We think, well, this is not fair. I'm much more exalted than that. I found out my consciousness is here, but actually I'm really over here. That's what my astrological chart says. And I believe in astrology, so it must be true. Everyone else says I'm down there, but I know where I'm actually at. We actually have to find out where we're at and what is the next step to actually change our consciousness. Now, if we don't like the fact that there is impediments to changing our consciousness, we don't like where we're at, then we're never going to go anywhere, probably down at best. If we can't find out what's my next step, then how can I take it in the right direction? Therefore, as it says, as always summarized, the demigods pray, they pray Krishna in the mode of, we have to advance towards the mode of goodness. Oh, the mode of goodness, how boring. No one likes the mode of goodness. You get on, if I'm simply good, people will just take advantage of me. I should be recognized in the mode of, I should be at least in the mode of passion. I should be like a fire that everyone recognizes how wonderful I am. I must display my prowess. I have to be recognized. I have to be in the center of attention. So that's called the mode of ignorance. False ego, the mode of ignorance. I must be in the center. If I'm not in the center, then my activities won't give me the fruit I'm looking for, namely profit, adoration, and distinction. So one has to come to the mode of goodness in order to have a peaceful mind. And only when we have a peaceful mind can actually Krishna be born, can Krishna consciousness be born in a peaceful mind. We can't think of Krishna if we're hankering and lamenting because our spiritual intelligence is being carried away by illusion. Therefore, when the leaders of our society previously had this, some of the leaders, at least in the 1970s, had decided they knew how to organize the Hare Krishna movement. They had a big plan to organize and spread Krishna consciousness. They didn't really have to consult with Prabhupada because Srila Prabhupada was, you know, kind of quaint. He had some ideas he got from the colonial British. And therefore there is no need to explain to him, because the actual successes in modern society came from the discoveries in how to manage institutions and corporations that Prabhupada obviously didn't know very much about, because he never talked about it. Because he was from disorganized India. But we're from the organized first world rather than the third world. We're the first world goodness, second world passion, third world India. ignorance. So they organized, they were going to centralize everything, like every normal corporation would do. A few genius brains would figure out how to spend all the money and do everything. Everyone else who had no brains would just follow along and we'd be successful. Because that's how society is. There's a few Vaishyas who have some brains, had to cheat people, and everyone else is being cheated by the brainless people, the Shudras. So following that corporate model, they decided to organize ISKCON. And then Prabhupada heard about it because they had their meeting. They elected a devotee who was a corporate manager. They didn't call the rest of the useless GBCs because they probably wouldn't agree, because they were also old-fashioned and quaint. They believed in some colonial India, British India way of management, or they had no brains for management like those GBCs did. So they didn't tell Prabhupada about the meeting because Prabhupada wouldn't understand. And then when Prabhupada heard about it, his reaction was, he wrote a letter to all the temple presidents telling them, don't listen to these GBC members. I'm dissolving the GBC. So GBC went to ABC. Back to ABC. And why? Because Prabhupada said that he wrote many letters about how his movement was not meant to centralize everything, so a few people with brains would do everything, and everyone else would be just like a puppet, a robot. Yes, yes, sir. Yes, yes. I'm the coolie. Yes, sir. Tell me what to do. So Prabhupada said this movement is meant to train people to be independently strong to rely upon Krishna. It's meant to training people to give them challenges so that they rise up to meet them, so that they're competent in every sphere of activity. Not that they beg from people, from the leaders, and they never develop any real intelligence and competency in the different fields. Prabhupada explained it in more detail. That I see our leaders, even our leaders, they've lost their enthusiasm because they don't follow the regular principles. That our movement's not stymied simply because we're not organized according to a corporate structure. Our movement is stymied because the leaders don't come to the program. They don't chant Hare Krishna. They don't understand what our philosophy is because they never hear it. They never practice it. Therefore, they're leading us into Andaya Tandira. They're blind, and they're leading us into a ditch. By this, we can see it. So Prabhupada dissolved the GBC temporarily. And then he wrote to the GBC members, sent a letter to the temple presidents. They were wondering what happened, you know. And Prabhupada explained that actually, you don't understand what our priorities are. You're making all these big, big plans to centralize everything, but the real priorities I'm not seeing that you're actually discussing. Namely, I'm seeing that the devotees, every day they're taking prasadam, but they don't even bother washing their hands before they take prasadam. That's what you should discuss. Come to the mode of goodness. Then our success in Krishna consciousness will be there. If you don't even go to the airport, how do you expect to take the airplane? If you don't come to goodness, how do you expect to go to Vaikuntha? So our first business is to come to the mode of goodness by regulating our activities. And the way of doing it is to hear and chant about Krishna, but in a regulated way. Regulate the senses. Not that one moment I'm chanting Hare Krishna, I'm in the temple, and the next moment I'm doing something, my mind is somewhere else. No, the idea is kirtani yaksada hari, sadatam kirtiyantama. Always, somehow or another, putting ourselves in a position where, as Prabhupada said, real organization is that one should organize one's life in such a way that throughout the 24 hours a day, one cannot help but think about Krishna. And the Lord's promise is that one will go back to the spiritual world if one does that. Then the Hare Krishna mantra will be powerful. In other words, Krishna will actually see that we're interested in serving him, and then he'll reveal himself to us in the holy name. Then we'll actually be chanting to engage in his loving service, rather than getting empowered for something else. Therefore, the demigods say, first, let's come to the mode of goodness that the Supreme Lord is, it says here, now is the time to invoke the mode of goodness to living entities who have accepted material bodies. So we can understand that if I'm not in the mode of goodness, I must be in some other mode. The mode of goodness is meant to establish the Supreme Lord's rule. So in the mode of goodness, we'll actually see how Krishna is controlling everything. There just won't be a theory that Krishna is actually God. And then we'll become fixed. We'll accept that I should be serving God in the mode of goodness. Now we're not quite sure what God wants us to do, what Krishna wants us to do. We have so many other desires, so many other ideas. Things are confusing, and we don't take the trouble to find out because we're too much in passion. Therefore, this is an opportune moment to take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And because he is naturally kind and dear to the demigods, he will certainly bestow good fortune upon us. So this is Kali Yuga, as Prabhupada points out. Now is the time to take shelter of Krishna. And if we don't, as we're getting a little glimpse lately, Kali Yuga is going to be very unpleasant. Now externally, that's up to Krishna, how unpleasant our experience of Kali Yuga is going to be. But there's one great thing, that if we learn how to chant Hare Krishna in such a way as to feel Krishna's presence, then we ourselves will be on a different level of experience. If we chant Hare Krishna and we don't experience Krishna, then we're not in Krishna consciousness. We can't say, I'm a devotee of Krishna, but I don't experience Krishna. How can we be devoted to Krishna unless we're in ecstasy when we chant Hare Krishna? At least we're getting some pleasure, some happiness by chanting Hare Krishna. Otherwise, what does it mean that I'm in Krishna consciousness? Krishna is the source of all happiness, and I have no happiness when I chant Hare Krishna. Matter of fact, the only happiness I get is when I finish chanting Hare Krishna. That means we're not really chanting Hare Krishna. And we have to learn the art of chanting Hare Krishna, and that will save us from Kali Yuga. Otherwise, we may be proud that I'm a devotee, but just by changing one's address or one's dress doesn't mean that we've become purified and become perfect. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions, comments?
Lord Brahma glorifies Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we often hear that there is no point to request Krishna for any material blessings. But it seems that Lord Brahma is sort of reminding Krishna or Vishnu or God that why don't you start the sattvic period already? Doesn't Krishna know that it's time? And
well, it's not hurt, it doesn't hurt to remind you. Brahma's may not be 100% pure devotee. As a matter of fact, when he came 5,000 years ago, Prabhupada writes that he was a sadhana bhakti. He wasn't an uttama bhakti, he was a sadhana bhakti. So sadhana bhaktis, they have their ideas about what devotional service is, their conceptions, even Lord Brahma. And therefore, some of his prayers may be similar like this.
So for us, would it be all right to sometimes humbly remind Krishna that maybe it's a good time to add more sattva gun?
Yeah, of course.
better than praying to Krishna for other things. Dear Krishna, there's not enough rajas in my life. You had a little Tom Boone, you know, I haven't tasted that for a while. I really like that. No, it's better to pray for Tom Boone because that I become, I remember to wash my hands before I eat prasadam, and even afterwards. So that kind of, that's if that's where we're at, that's what we should pray for. That will help us advance those Krishna consciousness.
You want to read?
Yes. What do we have? We have Abhidhuja Roy's or someone else's question? Abhidhuja, okay. Quick. Time I have. The destroyer of the world. Yes.
Thank you, Maharaj, for this very, very nice lecture. My question is, at one point you did say that if we are not really experiencing Krishna, we are not really chanting. So, in the...
doing something like chanting.
Right, right.
Maybe in between a devotee and a parrot.
Right. And so many times, you know, this experience has been there for me also. So how do we stay encouraged to go on even though we don't have taste?
How do you... Well, we, if you have... Then we have to follow the process. We have to... We have to read Prabhupada's books and learn how to do that. We have to worship the deities. We have to learn how to do that. We have to associate with the devotees and learn how to do that. You have to learn how to make the atmosphere spiritual. So we have to find something that we want to learn how to improve in, and at least improve in that. We have to have something we have some faith in and try to get better at it, try to practice it with faith and devotion. And that will help us improve the chanting. And the chanting, we'll find out, will help us improve, making improvement in those other areas too.
Thank you, Guru Maharaj.
Yes. Yeah. Anyhow, let's see Abhidhuja Roy's. It's all right. Yeah. Go ahead, come.
But I'm not willing to read it, but nobody else is, so I will do it.
Okay, because, then give it to her.
Yeah, okay.
Why don't you want to read it?
Thank you so much, Maharaj. Maharaj, I like your class very well in terms of how much you emphasize the essence of the internal process and not external. It's actually, if I understand well, then it's more the quality of the devotee that counts, we have to come to the mood of goodness, so it's more important to work innerly on this consciousness, on this mindset, than actually, like you see, sometimes you see some temples have the tendency. I also did when I was running Amsterdam Temple. That's not false ego, but the tendency is often to have a lot of devotees. You have to generate income. You have to maintain temples, and that tendency is. How do you say it? Sometimes it's growing, but actually that's not the aim of this movement. The aim is they come and try to help them to develop, to come into goodness. And that's a much more important point, the internal development, than all the externals. And so for me, this is a wonderful eye-opener again. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, thank you. What is Abhidhuja Roy? Can you give it to someone else? He read. He'll change the question.
Abhidhuja Roy is saying that I read that by analyzing the false